Hello and welcome to 7.5 Tons of Nonsense. I'm Zach, and this is Dave.
That's me.
We're 7 Tons, and this is Anthony.
I'm the 0.5.
We're new to News Junkie. Yeah. We've been brought along to do an arts show, and between us we know a lot about arts, but it's of debate whether our opinions are valuable or not. So this week we're going to spend roughly 30 minutes talking about Borderlands 2, which came out a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Nice. And we have two copies. We've been split screening it on the Xbox in the house, and we are basically going to yak about it. What did you roll? Five.
Five.
Sweet. Yeah. We're having a D6 rolling competition, and Dave just rolled a 5.
Because I'm amazing.
He's amazing. So yeah, we're going to talk about Borderlands 2. We're going to give it a quick review, I suppose, and basically just.
Chit-chat about it.
Yeah, chit-chat about it for like 30 minutes. And you might listen. You might not.
You probably won't.
You may not enjoy this, but I think we're going to enjoy it. So, we've played about, what would you say, about 30 hours of Borderlands?
Easily.
Days of Borderlands. Like, we picked it up on the day it came out, even though we're all destitute.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, let's go to Tesco. And it was like £32. And we thought... Woo. Yay. So we picked up two copies because we have disposable income. And ever since then, we've got two TVs because we also have disposable income. And
we support the middle class students in the area.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm from England, don't you know?
Yes.
Quite. And so, yeah, we played it for a while and we're going to make you listen to our opinions. So, probably going to. What do you think to Borderlands compared to the first one?
Oh, that's a difficult question because like,
I suppose you have to balance it on like its points.
Yeah, I mean the first one was like the first. It was kind of the first in the genre. I mean, there's never been an action shooty RPG before.
Yeah, well, there was that Alpha Protocol, but
yeah,
it was
but
a bag of ass.
That was like just awful.
I picked it up for £6 from. whatever that place is, not CX, but the other place in Belfast where you can trade stuff in and get other stuff.
Oh, yeah, the tradie shop.
Cash converters, yeah.
Cash converters.
And so I went in there and was like, oh, Alpha Protocol's £6. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll pick that up.
To be fair, though, doesn't Deus Ex fall under the same category? At least the first one, maybe.
I'll give you that. The Deus Ex was a shooty RPG, but at the same time, it wasn't the kind of like.
It's not in the same
like,
sort of...
Shoot, like, hilarious.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah,
just guns.
Deus Ex took itself seriously.
Yeah.
Borderlands
no.
Went the complete opposite direction.
Yeah. Ride with the scooter man! And that's been the house saying whenever anything happens, anything, just catch a ride, scooter man! And sometimes we end up just kind of dumbing it down. It's just... So, yeah. How about, like, we take it on... But one of the big elements of Borderlands was comedy.
Yeah.
Did we laugh more at Borderlands? Or do we laugh more at Borderlands 2? Because we're pretty far into Borderlands 2 now, and we completed Borderlands 1 a few days previous.
Yeah.
So
I think, to be fair, we probably laugh more at Borderlands 2. Handsome Jack is hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the writers for 2 have really improved on the writers from 1.
I think the characters are a lot... more rounded. Like in the first one, you had people like TK Baha, who was pretty violent. I'ma shoot you, bitch. Whereas this time,
blind like, man with no legs and a shotgun, ladies and gentlemen,
who then gets gruesomely hung.
Yeah,
later. Doesn't he have? Is that his arms that are flapping out? Because I could have sworn he was hung up by his.
Yeah, he's hung up by his leg.
But I thought
he has one leg.
He has one leg. Okay. But this time, Handsome Jack is hilarious. We're going to try and stay away from spoilers as much as possible. Not that there's really that much of a story.
No.
I mean, it's Borderlands, so the story's secondary to shooting stuff.
Bitches.
Yeah. So, like, your story on this one, that you could probably get from any site. You're Vault Hunters again.
Yep.
Was it, like, 3 years, something, since the last Borderlands?
5 years, I think.
5 years? Yep. It's been a period of time since the last one. And you're on a train... there's a new vault has opened up. Woo. I thought there would have been, like, that bit kind of pissed me off a little because it was like, oh, yeah, there's a new vault.
I think there's supposed to be lots of vaults.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that wasn't really mentioned in the first one. Like, it was like,
no.
There's a vault and this vault is cool.
But then the whole ending of one was just like a complete shit.
Yeah. I suppose we don't want to spoil that, though.
No.
I mean, to be fair.
But a story about that. the ending of Borderlands 1 was so unpopular that the writer of the current Borderlands 2, who runs a comedy show on YouTube, or not actually YouTube, Game Trailers, called Hey Ash, What You Playing? Him and his sister do it. But his sister was
new
so...
New Donny and Marie Osmond.
His sister was so incensed about the ending of Borderlands 2 that when her brother was showing her around Gearbox, where he now works, that she went on a crusade to find who was responsible for the end of Borderlands 1. And then when they found the head of Gearbox, she punched them in the dick.
Excellent.
What a crazy bitch.
And that's her brother, the little girl. Writes that.
Oh, yeah. Is that who that is? All right, okay, because I'd heard people say, oh, I heard it was this girl. Heard it was this guzzle.
Guzzle.
I heard it was this girl, but I didn't really know in any sense who she was. Okay, but so the beginning, you're new Vault Hunters, and the character classes, I have to say, are a bit more balanced than Borderlands 1. Because I play Brick. If you've never played Borderlands 1, then Brick, as you can imagine from a dude called Brick, he's a berserker, right? And he stands about, what, like, he's a good 7 foot tall.
Easily.
He's literally built like a tank. And his action move you have, you run and shoot, but the kind of unique thing is you have an action move and each person has their own skill that sets them apart from everyone else. So you're not just running around shooting people with the same guns and doing the same stuff. Everybody has their own thing. So Brick was to just go nuts. He put his guns away and punched everything to death. And like
screaming constantly.
You could tell from any room in the house when Brick was going berserk. Because all you could hear was, and then sometimes it'd go, blood! And it was... But toward the end of the game, the last boss of the game, I was the only person who never finished Borderlands, but the two who had, Dave and Anthony, had mentioned that the last boss in Borderlands was actually quite tricky. You know, he was tough. He wasn't, like, unbeatable, but he was solid. And you had to try your hardest to, you know, kill him. So me and Dave was playing, you were playing Lilith the Siren. He had this SMG, which ran shit. Like, I'm serious, that thing was nuts. There's a dual function where you can fight each other. Whenever we did it, it'd just be like, oh yeah, you're dead. Like, oh. I didn't even have, like, even if I was in Berserk mode where you recover health and you have damage resistance, he would just gank me.
Yep.
It was unreal. So he was just shooting it in the face, and I just went up to one of its legs and just punched it. And literally three or four minutes of doing that, and we're like, I don't think I took any damage. Like, it slams its tentacles down. Oh, it's tentacles. It's hentai. I've seen enough hentai. No, this is going. Slams its tentacles down and made me run away. Like, it blasts you away, but I was just like, I'm just going to run back and punch you again, so that's that.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So they've balanced it a little bit out. Like, we were level 35 at the end of Borderlands, and everything that stood in our way was mush. Instant death. And me and Dave were about level 27, 28.
In Borderlands 2,
and things are still a challenge.
Yeah, it's
like we die.
Kick the shit out of us most of the time.
We die more often than we'd like.
What were we talking about?
I don't know. We've gone off a tangent. If this continues and they let us talk again, you'll notice that we'll have a point, and then it'll go. And something else will take its place.
Yeah.
We're talking about comedy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So at the beginning, you're these new Vault Hunters. There's Salvador, who is like a Blaxican gunzerker. He's like
midget.
Half, yeah, he's a midget. He's a dwarf, yeah. He's like half black, half Mexican. And like he starts the game with a beard and a mohawk. And his thing, he's meant to take over Brick. But they obviously realize that the punching thing was a bit nuts. And so they've replaced it with a dual gun system. So like... you fire one gun, and then he goes berserk, or gunzerk, and he gets his other gun out and jacks bitches. It's essentially the same premise. You recover health the same way. There's Zero, who's really cool.
He's boss. Mm-hmm. Like, he's an absolute legend.
Dave's played Zero. What do you think to Zero as, like, a character?
His character is really, really fucking annoying.
Oh, yeah.
A ghost in the combat. You've activated my trap card.
Oh, yeah, he does,
your
like, little...
death approach.
He does, like, little Yu-Gi-Oh! References. Yeah. His thing is deception mode, where he leaves a little phantom spinning in the middle of the battlefield, which attracts attention. Like, if you ever play Mass Effect 3... it's a bit like what Edie does, you know, when she puts a decoy out and they all go, hey, that's that thing. And then she goes around and does it. But his thing is he does it and then he goes around and slits its throat. But whenever he does it, he's so arrogant.
I will teach you the art of combat.
And like it has that cheeky little Yu-Gi-Oh reference. He comes in and he's like, you have activated my trap card. And but I mean, he's kind of cool as well because he has this thing where when he like bends down to heal you or whenever he does anything, he gets little cool symbols in front of his face because he's like an alien or something. Like, you never really sure whether he's a dude.
I think he's an Atlas assassin. Like, he's one of those like genetically modified dudes.
Yeah, because at the beginning is like Salvador or as the Gunzerker and Zero as a number. With the Siren class has returned. Slightly nerfed this time. You don't have the thing where
it's not nerfed. It's much better. Siren was as a class was really boring before.
I suppose the deception mode is a bit like what the old phase lock was like.
Only now you don't have an AOE when you come out of it.
Yeah, and also you can take really damage when you're in AOE. Deception mode. There's an enemy called a lab rat, which apparently couldn't see you when you're invisible.
It actually can. I just realized that I was being a bit of a bitch about that. It can't see you when you're invisible. It just every time it would like attack my clone, and the clone would instantly die, and then the beam would just go straight through it and hit me. And I was like, because the beam does an infinite damage, and murks you.
I've never actually been hit by one. I've been like smacked by it, but I've never been because I can always just jump out of the way. I'm usually good at that.
The beam's hard.
But yeah. The siren's back, but this time, instead of, like, phase walking, you phase lock is the thing now.
Yeah, you just pick them up and just
trap them in a different dimension.
Yeah. And while they're up there, they take extra damage, and then when you finishes, you get, like, some health back. And
some bad stuff.
The thing is, the good thing about it is that you can use it on anyone, so it's not just your little tiny enemies. Like, you can phase lock anyone.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Some things that are too big.
Yeah, like you can't take a raging Goliath. Someone. Can you take a Goliath?
I think you can take most things, like most regular mobs, but like trains and turrets.
Anything that's like hunkered to the ground.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can pick pretty much anything up, and it's good for like removing enemies from combat and
or holding something up so you can shoot it in the face repeatedly.
Yeah, like, that's always good. Handy. And the final one is the commando, who kind of replaces the kind of vanilla soldier from last one. Yeah, they've made him a bit better this time. He has a turret, which is nuts in situations
ridiculous.
where you're struggling. You just run into a big group of enemies and go, turret, and then run away again, and they all go, that thing's boss, and start killing it. And then you can run back in full health again and be like, oh, the turret didn't kill you. Boink.
That's all right, because most of the time the turret will kill you. That turret's probably better than the soldier.
Very, very good for tanking like huge, like badass psychos.
Yeah.
You just throw the turret at going, have you met the wife? And then you run back with a sniper rifle and just shoot him in the face.
There's the classes, but as you're driving in, you have your little intro movie, which is much better than last time because it's skippable.
Oh, no, I love the one from Borderlands. I mean, it's nice that it's...
Was it Marcus driving the bus?
Marcus was driving the bus, yeah.
Now get the hell off my bus. But yeah, no, because the fact that it wasn't skippable, and like, how many times have you started Borderlands? Like 4,000?
Yeah,
and it's like, I'm pretty sure you could just say that. But this one, you have a little thing, and Handsome Jack blows up your train, and Handsome Jack's the kind of antagonist.
Yeah.
But Handsome Jack is hilarious. Like, he comes in, and Claptrap rescues you, and you have your whole thing, and then he just... As you're walking into a place, he just comes on the little echo system and he's like, so, hey, how's your day been? Might have been pretty good, you know, these pretzels, not very up to standard. And he's like, so, while you're doing this, I bought a pony made out of diamonds. And like, not an inanimate one, this is just a real thing. What shall I call it? What's the first? I was like, Piss for Brains,
Piss
in honor of you.
Yeah.
And he's like, actually, no, that's just childish. Maybe I'll call it Butt Stallion. And then for the rest of the game, there's these tiny references to Butt Stallion. So yeah, speaking of hilarious characters.
Yeah.
And we were talking about her earlier on. The
little girl.
The little girl
who
is the sister of...
The head writer.
That one guy.
Yeah.
And she makes a reappearance as Tiny Tina, who is a psycho 13-year-old. And her missions are equally hilarious and disturbing.
Yeah.
One of the missions is you have to... She has two toy rabbits, and she asks you to go search for their badonkadonks. And their badonkadonks are two missiles or rockets or something. And you have to go and do that, and then she like chucks you out of her cave for a while, and then you come back in, and you've got two crazy rabbits.
With rockets attached to them, yeah.
Yeah, and there's another mission where you have to set up a party for her, and you have to go and get like a hat with a thing drawn on it, like a fish. It was called like Mr. Snugglebutt or something.
Yeah.
And then you've got to go get this one last guy, and it's the guy who like killed her parents. It gets pretty dark.
Yeah.
And she electrocutes him to death?
Yeah, she like tortures him and then murders him.
Sweet.
Yeah.
If there's any tapping or buzzing, it's because one of these microphones is a bug of ours and we have to fix it.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to do it right now. There we go, we fixed it. Hey!
Woo!
Hooray!
No, 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 no. Woo! That's our fixing noise.
Piano riff.
So, like, it's. I think it's a little more expansive than the first Borderlands.
There is a lot more to it.
Like, there's a lot of areas, and they're actually more accessible, I think. Like, there's the... Because, like, you did Firestone for about 10 minutes, and, well, I suppose we didn't.
It probably would take a bit longer. If
you Yeah, but, like, you never ever went back to Firestone.
No, that is true.
Ever. Mm-hmm. Like, once you left it, that was it. No need to ever go back. Whereas, like, I suppose, yeah, we've been back to Liarsburg a few times, that bit you start, because they put missions back there.
That is true.
I mean, we haven't been there recently, but...
No.
You feel as if the map is utilized, as well as being huge and expansive. You actually feel as if it's all being utilized.
Definitely.
And they have a decent fast travel system, though I have noticed... well, we're fawning praise on the game. I have noticed that there are a couple of flaws, as there are with every game.
Yeah.
One of them being a horribly designed map.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is just
like,
terrible.
There's a mission called the Enkindling.
Enkindling, yeah.
And it's the last of a series of missions, which are actually pretty fun, where we have to burn a dwarf in a robotic dragon's mouth.
Yeah.
I think you need to tap up again. There we go. And hopefully we'll have that fixed for next week, assuming there is a next week. yeah. But the last one, you have to go and find this guy, and he's going to take you through the Enkindling, which is a lovely ritual. And it's in this one place you've actually been for a while, it's called like Frostburn Canyon. And it tells you, go to the Enkindling, right? And it shows you a marker on the map. And there seems to be an obvious way to get there, which is you're walking up this little thing and there should be a left turn. There is not a left turn. And you can't go the other way because that's also blocked off. The other way, which appears to get you there, that's also blocked off. And so me and Dave spent about an hour just running around, pissing about, trying to find this entrance. Until we finally gave in and had a look at what the internet had to say. Most of what the internet had to say was, just go to the Enkindling, which is really good. And one of them said, one of them gave us some slight advice, and we managed to find that basically what they want you to do is to go in a huge loop, like almost a figure of eight, around this map. And it's so difficult to find, and it's so counterintuitive. And, like, we'd done it as a pair, and then we did it again as a three, and then Anthony was doing it on his own, and he got lost again despite having already done it.
Yep.
That's how stupidly retarded this map is. It's absolutely awful. Anything else that you feel could be improved on?
They made a big deal about the kind of the bazillion guns got more bazillion-ier.
That's on the back of the thing. The first there was a bazillion guns, and a bazillion guns got bazillion deer.
But, like, I mean, they still have the same problem that they had in the old one, which is essentially, like, the vending machines become just, like, places for you to toss all of the crap that you've gotten. They never have anything useful. You could, like, you see one gun, and it's like, oh, this gun's amazing. I want to spend, like, 15 grand on it. You spend 15 grand, and you pick up something, like, 5 minutes later. That
yeah.
does twice the damage. Just like...
Yeah,
The bazillion deer is not necessarily better.
Yeah, I suppose, because you just end up like... it's. We're all card gamers here, but it's like Yu-Gi-Oh! Versus Magic. There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody at the door. Who could that be? Oh, hi, it's me, Mother.
It's Satan. Anyway.
It's Satan.
Ah, the first appearance of the Satan voice.
Yeah.
Many happy returns.
Happy birthday, murder face.
So anyway, it's like the problem with Yu-Gi-Oh! Vs. Magic, if anybody listens to these card gamers. I assume most of the people who actually listen to this are just, like, news, and you're going to tune into this and be like...
What is happening?
If you've ever played Yu-Gi-Oh!, when you open up a booster of cards, you'll get, like, one in every 30 boosters will hold something you actually want, and the rest of them are actually cards that not only are bad, but will never, ever, ever see play in any format, ever... because they're just atrocious. Like, some cards just do nothing. Like, you know, you're going to pick them up and just go, no. They're not even worth having. Like, you can't sell them. You know, someone will be like, I'll buy it off you for a penny. And you're like, okay. And like, you've just spent $350 on that booster. Like, I have no idea when I played the game how many Yu-Gi-Oh boosters I just threw away.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Magic, of course, you have
usually get
there's less cards, but there's more depth within them. And you actually, you know, some cards gonna come along one day and it's gonna just like, oh, it's rubbish, but it breaks Legacy in half.
Yeah,
like Mental Misstep, like it was okay in Standard, and then it absolutely snaps Legacy in half and they banned it. By the way, if anybody doesn't like Magic, tough, because we're probably going to be talking about it. And if you don't understand it, if we ever actually talk in depth about it, we'll probably explain it.
Possibly.
Probably. So we've got about 3 minutes left, I think. We're going to close the show out with a sweet tune, and we could probably spend a couple of minutes chatting about it.
That makes sense.
We, a couple of months ago, had this crazy Mass Effect marathon. My brother came up and, like, stuck Mass Effect 2 on because he was bored. And then, like, we all watched him play it, and we were all like, oh, man,
Mass Effect
is so boss.
Sweet.
So we took it, and, like, we already had Mass Effect 2, so I went to the shop and bought Mass Effect 1 and 3. And I sat down and straight marathoned it. Like, I must have spent over 100 hours personally on it. And so we had two TVs and two Xboxes going. And I would sit there playing Mass Effect, and someone else would play Mass Effect 2. So we did it, and all the way through, specifically from, like, there's a point in one, which is a conversation with the Sovereign. Now, I assume these games have been out long enough, apart from 3, to, like, there's really no spoilers at this point.
No.
So, you know what? If you're pissed about spoilers from a game from 2004, then die.
Dark.
So a conversation with Sovereign the first time you meet him. You were not Saren. It still sets my hair on end. It's fantastic. One of the best reveals in a game ever. And like, I've wanted to use it as a sample in like either dubstep or before a huge ass beatdown where it's just like, we're the pinnacle of evolution. And I'm like, set me up. So ever since then, I've been kind of thinking about the fact that Reapers make noise very much like dubstep, and I would quite like to meld the two. Now one day I just typed in Reaper dubstep and we found an excellent song, Surrender Shepherd by DJ Harbinger, just to the tune of Justin Bieber's Baby. Shepherd, 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 pitiful. And it's fantastic. But this one is like, they've taken a lot of the tunes from Mass Effect 3 and they've used the Reaper noises from that, and they've made a really dark, like, dubstep tune. And it's not the best I've ever heard. Like, it's a bit repetitive, but it's moiderous.
It is pretty boss.
And
it lacks in drop, I find.
Yeah, there's like a bit like later on where it gets pretty good. Like,
but like, if you've got the Reaper noise at your disposal, what are you going to use that for? Sweet drops.
Yeah, I suppose it was a bit relaxed.
So this is an open challenge to anyone out there who actually makes music, like electronic music, dubstep, things like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Take the Reaper noise and make drops that kill us.
Yes. Yeah, like, we want to hear something that's going to make me have to sit down. It's going to give me reggae legs. Like, you know, I'm going to have to sit down with my wobbly knees. We don't have to give you inspiration, you know. If you're a producer yourself, then you know how to do it. Yeah. We don't actually know how. Apparently, News Junkie has like 400 listeners.
Really?
I don't know. Well, I mean, their news programs don't know about us, but apparently they have like 400 regular listeners. So maybe there's someone out there who produces music. So if there is, please send us something. Speaking of which, we should have some contact details. I'm pretty sure News Junkie is on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's just search News Junkie, maybe News Junkie Coleraine. I can't remember how I found it. They have a Twitter. I think it's just at News Junkie, but I can't be entirely sure. Feel free to get at any of us. Facebook, there's Zach Appleyard. That's me.
Dave Wilson.
That's him.
Yep.
Anthony Ferguson.
So you get either of the tons or the half. I'm also on Twitter, at WitchTripper, which is spelt with a Y as opposed to an I, because some other bastard had taken the first one. I tried for ages to get a username that was Doomblade, but no, but some other person who tweeted like five times, five fucking years ago, like one of their tweets was just like, got a donut, and I was like, oh, you stole the new username Doomblade to tweet about donuts, you shit. I am going to cut you. Excellent. I get quite angry about things, but anyway, yes. Catch me on Twitter at WitchTripper if you like. I have a public profile, so you can follow me, and I can follow you, and you can ask me things. Feel free to feel free to tweet any questions or any stuff like that, if anybody actually cares. we will actually genuinely read them and stuff.
Yeah.
And so before we leave you, next week we're going to do some music stuff. We have all been listening to the new album by The Acacia Strain, which is insane.
Yeah.
It's the heaviest thing ever, but we'll leave that to next week. We've also, Anthony has the new
Deadmau5 album and the new Green Day album for whoever likes the lighter side of
music. Yeah, because not everyone wants to listen to huge beatdowns like me. But it's something we've all listened to, so we're all going to try and get something that we've listened to and try and diversify a little bit. There's also, we may have a wee chat about the new Magic set very briefly. Return to Ravnica is out next week, and I'm very excited about it for one. We went to a pre-release this Saturday and didn't get stomped, which was exciting.
Congratulations.
Yay! So, do tune in to 7.5 Tons of Nonsense next week. If the name didn't give it away, the show did. apologies for any kind of editing issues. We had like a huge problem in the middle with buzzing mics and whatnot.
It was dark.
And hopefully we'll see some of you next week. So, that's going to be us.
Better.